This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Show everybody, my name's Kate Delaney. If you're a first timer, well, settle in. And if you've been here for a long time, thank you very much. A lot of conversation centering around what's happening on the Hill with infrastructure. Yes, we're still talking about that. One thing that did happen is that the president met with Senate Democrats at the Capitol to discuss on Wednesday an agreement reached late Tuesday on a $3.5 trillion budget plan that would expand Medicare, fund climate change initiatives, and fulfill other parts of his economic agenda. The right-hand man, if you will, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, announced the agreement for a budget reconciliation package that would fund human infrastructure. That's what they use. That's the word they're using. Every major program that he's asked for is funded in, as Schumer said, a robust way. Oh, but wait, there are people that aren't supporting that on the Hill. So where they do have a deal is that infrastructure compromise, but it's not a deal that is written in ink. It's written in pencil, you know, kind of those pencils that you can barely get to press on the paper when you're playing mini golf. It's one of those kind of pencils. But there was a bipartisan group of 21 senators that, not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, reached that compromise to modernize what's deteriorating transportation-wise in our country. Look around you. I bet every single person listening to me can point to something that needs to be fixed. And it's not all going to get fixed. But some of it, those dollars and jobs could flow your way. But this has to first pass. And it's got other things attached to it that are still troublesome and might not work. I do believe when you look at roads and bridges and rail and broadband, internet and water and sewer pipes and whatnot, that there can be that compromise, and I think that will happen. But then you got this whole thing of, okay, so what's paying? How are we paying for this? Is there going to be a gas tax increase? That's something that's been resisted. A corporate tax hike? Well, Republicans would oppose that. And is it going to be corporate / individual looking at what the number is of over 400,000 if that's what you're clearing? So the compromise, I think, on infrastructure will eventually happen. But the rest of it is dicey as to what gets passed and what doesn't. I mean, it's still a matter of dollars and cents or no cents. And it has to have attached to it, how's this getting paid for? How do you get this across the finish line? And so to pay for infrastructure, you got to go after those that owe taxes but don't pay them. And particularly what seems to happen is the high-income earners, because they got great attorneys. There's loopholes, and there's loopholes that are actually legal loopholes. So you can't count on that, I don't think. There's lots of talk about that, but there are legal loopholes. So can the government really recoup $140 billion over 8 years and gain $100 billion that can be used to cover the cost of expanded infrastructure? Senator Mark Warner from Virginia thinks so. Biden also agreed to repurpose unused COVID-19 relief funds passed in 2020, as well as unused unemployment insurance benefits from his own American Rescue Plan, and that would be some money. And then there's this other idea of public-private partnerships or private activity bonds and asset recycling. And, yeah, I could go through a list, trust me, a mile long. But they got to know where it's coming from. And a reconciliation package, that's not going to be a pure vote. That has to be worked on. So we'll see how fast this gets passed. Infrastructure on its own, probably. You pull that out and wind it up in a different direction, and I think, you know, that it's okay, that it would work. Now, Republican senators are proposing raising the per-gallon gas tax by tying it to inflation and new user fees for electric vehicles of any sort. But the Democrats are against those options because part of the pledge was not to raise taxes on Americans earning less than $400,000. So the people that pull up the pumps that are earning less than $400,000 would not be happy about that. So, you know, you might agree on the price tag, but how do you pay for it? And that's key, right? My husband and I agree on a lot of things, not usually the price tag, but if we don't agree on the price and how to pay for it, it's not happening. We have a tough time finding that kind of compromise, and I think, in a broader sense, there will be no movement until there is how we paying for this attached to it. This is infuriating. I can only put it this way, but that doctor, Larry Nassar, remember all the abuse reports? And now he's in prison for 40 to 175 years for decades of sexual abuse of young gymnasts who are representing Team USA. How did this sports doctor get away with this for so long is beyond me. But what's worse is now the fact that he met with the FBI. The FBI had the chance to investigate, and they didn't pay attention to what they were investigating. The FBI officials are accused of making false statements. They failed to respond appropriately, and they exhibited poor judgment in the handling of the 2015 sexual abuse allegations, because that's how far back it goes with this former USA gymnast team doctor. The report found that W.J. Abbott, who was the agent in charge of the Indianapolis FBI office, and another unnamed agent made false statements and omitted important information in a 2017 report, then lied to the Inspector General investigators looking into the report. There was materially false statements during interviews to minimize errors made by the Indianapolis field office, apparently. And how often have you heard this come up? Oh, we have ethic guidelines. So the report also said that Abbott, who was in charge, violated ethics guidelines while negotiating for a job with the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee during the investigation. So there's your red flag. Ooh, wait, you mean I can work for the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee? And now they're investigating this doctor who has a huge name and a lot of pull with USA gymnasts. Ugly, ugly, ugly stuff. All right, I'll meet you on the flip side. Going to introduce you to an interesting author next.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
This report is sponsored by Amazon. Nothing says back to school like shopping for new book bags, laptops, outfits, and classroom essentials. Amazon makes shopping convenient for students, parents, and educators gearing up to head back to class. Customers can spend less and smile more when they shop Amazon's back to school and off to college storefronts this year, offering the widest selection, low prices, and free shipping on millions of items. Whether students are heading off to their first day of preschool or final semester of college, Amazon serves as a one-stop shop with everything customers need to get ready for school, including the latest fall fashions, dorm room decor, must-have supplies, and more. Plus, college students can sign up for a 6-month trial of Prime Student for access to the best of shopping and entertainment from Amazon, plus exclusive offers just for college students. Get your school list ready and start shopping today at Amazon.com/back to school and Amazon.com/off to college.
I was sitting right next to our next guest. She's in our virtual green room in an incredible place in Australia, and I'm going to let her tell you all about it in just a second. But she's written a book that makes you want more. It's just you get to the end, and you want more. That's the best way to say it. And we're going to talk more about the plot and what it's about, but it's called Guardians Legacy. Think Guardians. So we'll do that in just a second here. But first we go to Cheryl Richards. Cheryl, tell us, for all the listeners around the world and in the United States especially too, where you are and what it's like.
Right this very moment, I'm sitting at the top of the mountain near our home. And it was actually a gap. It's called Blackman's Gap. And it's the only road that you can get up and over down the other side. It's absolutely beautiful. It's just sun shining, birds are singing. You couldn't ask for anything better.
Yeah, and it's cool because we can hear those birds. And you and I were talking about this. And on this show, we've talked about this before. I mean, how do you live off the grid and in this incredibly beautiful area? And you said, you know, it's pretty easy in Australia. And you do that because you have a lot of sunlight, right? And that's you're able to sustain.
That's correct, yes. Because, you know, I've lived long enough now that I think my footprint on the earth is enough without making too much more. So, and we just, while we've got all these things that, well, they're for free, that we have, don't have a power bill and we don't have anything like that. So, and it's clean and it's all there just for us for the taking. So, and a lot of Australians do have solar now because of the sunshine and because of the ongoing costs. And it does just save the coal emissions that come out of our powerhouses. That's why we like it.
Yeah. Wow. All right. So I gave a little bit of a tease about the book, Guardians Legacy. So tell me what led you to write this book in the first place.
I always knew I was going to write a book from the time I was young. I always enjoyed reading myself and getting lost in that world of that you know, you're reading about. And to be honest, my book is, I would like to live there. That is my world where I would like to live and the way it is. So it was, I didn't actually know how my book was going to end when I started it. I had a vague plot in my mind, but as I went along, it was almost organic. It grew and ideas came as I went, and it just kept going. And then when I did write the end, I was almost lost. All I wanted to do was go back there for a while.
Wow. And the plot is so interesting because the guardians, the Earth has guardians in your book. Tell us about the guardians and a little bit of the plot of what happens.
Well, without Earth knowing, the Earth was under the care of two guardians of this race. And when Earth decided it was going to destroy itself, not that it decided itself, but when war happened and the guardians arrived too late to halt the destruction, and all they could do was rescue 30 young babies of the human race. And they themselves were injured trying to get the babies. And when they got them on the ship and they were heading back to their own place, to their own planet, they actually crashed on the way on Sentinel. And Sentinel is the planet where the children are then brought, you know, taught how to survive by their guardians. And before the guardians themselves succumbed to their own injuries, there was a force field placed around their camp by their guardians because the children were young. And then they were given instructions by their guardians as to how to drop the force field when they felt they were ready to survive on their own. And so as young teenagers, children dropped the force field, and that's when they discovered that there were dragons. And the dragons came across as enemies at first, like trying to destroy the children. But the children ended up telling the dragons that they weren't anybody to worry about, and they became friends. Because the reason why the dragons thought they were enemies was an alien race earlier had actually taken control of the dragons. And many of them had died because there had been an implant put into their skulls, and it killed a lot of the dragons. But so the children actually helped those dragons who still had the implants and by removing them. And then the aliens came back and tried to take the dragons again, as well as discovering the humans were there. And they actually tried to destroy our human race of children. Sorry, Kat.
That's okay.
That's what happens when you sit at the top of the mountain. and then the children and the dragons joined forces, and between them, they got rid of the aliens, and they have the planet all to themselves.
Wow. They have the planet all to themselves. I like that. So what do you hope people take away from reading your novel, Guardians Legacy, which I, by the way, think somebody younger can read it. I mean, they could be a teenager, and somebody much older could read it and enjoy it. I've said this to you off the air. I think you have a large target audience.
Yes, that was always my plan, because I didn't know if I could actually write a full just for children. And because my own reading experience from being young, when I was younger, I loved my dragon stories anyway. So I wanted to do it, you know, kids and adults. And as to what I would for them to take away, I simply would just like them to just enjoy it and relax and immerse themselves in my world.
I like that, immerse themselves in your world. And now the first thing people are going to say is when they read it is there a sequel? And, of course, you can get Guardians Legacy, by the way, Cheryl Richards' book, on Amazon. Is there is there going to be a sequel to this?
Well, it's funny that you should ask that, because I actually, at the beginning, had never planned a sequel. But after everyone had read it, the next question I asked my test group was, would you like a sequel? Would you like a completely new story? Because I do have quite a few other stories that I would like to do. But it was almost unanimous. Please, a sequel, because they all felt the same way. Like, when they got to the end of the book, it was like, oh, no, it's finished. So I'd like to write a sequel. And I actually have started, but I was sort of keeping that quiet up until this moment.
I'm glad that you told us that. So once again, you can get the book Guardian's Legacy on Amazon. Cheryl, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kate, and thank you very much for asking me on your show.
I'll tell you what, listening to the perch that she was on, you know, the sounds of the birds, and you hear this with many of the people that we talked to in Australia, it makes you want to go there, doesn't it? I felt like I was sitting right there on the mountain with her, so it was a lot of fun chatting with Cheryl. In the couple of minutes before we jump over to our next segment, a big shout out to the Bucks. What an exciting end to the Bucks-Suns game. The Bucks at one point were down 9 points in the game. They rallied past the Suns. That NBA Finals is now tied at 2-even. Boy, it was looking like that wasn't going to happen. I thought this was going to go to 7 all the way through it. I said it in the very beginning of this series, and who knows, it could. 109-103, the final score in that game 4. Trailing most of the second half, the Bucks were able to pull ahead late in the fourth quarter. 8 straight points from Chris Middleton. They had some killer defense that made such a difference. But Middleton had 40 points. Yeah. Giannis had 26 points and 14 boards as well. And once this moves back to Phoenix, is it going to be a question of there's something about home cooking on the hardwoods here in this final series, but it certainly was a fun one to watch. This is when basketball's good to me. When you get into the finals, when you get into the playoff season, it's like a whole nother season where everything's on the line, and that's what it felt like. It felt like everything's on the line in this game. And I thought there were some missed calls. There were calls you could argue about if we were in the man cave, and I told you we're going to start to invite people into the man cave. It certainly would be something that we would be talking about, but I would take nothing away from either team. I mean, they played all out to me, and it was a very nice win for Milwaukee, and it does make that series that much more interesting because now they each have 2 wins apiece, and this could go into a lot of different directions. Sweet! I don't know. I look at them, and I think, I need to hit the gym more. Because that athleticism, that up and down, that stamina, crazy. I'll meet you on the flip side.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Dozens of wildfires continue to burn across the western United States as above-average temperatures and widespread drought conditions continue to fuel the blazes. The largest, the Bootleg Fire in southern Oregon, has burned through more than 212,000 acres in the Fremont-Winema National Forest. Crews have only managed to bring that blaze 5% under containment and warn that the fire could continue to burn until the fall. Red flag warnings remain in effect in eastern Washington, central Oregon, and parts of Idaho and Montana. And Ohio Governor Mike DeWine has signed a bill that would stop public universities and schools in the state from requiring students to receive the COVID vaccine. The law bans institutions from requiring people to get a vaccine that does not have a full approval from the Food and Drug Administration. The three COVID vaccines being administered in the U.S. were approved under an emergency use authorization from the FDA. You're listening to USA Radio News. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell testified before the House Financial Services Committee on Wednesday, saying that increases in inflation and the Consumer Price Index should only be temporary while the economy recovers from the pandemic.
Inflation has increased notably and will likely remain elevated in coming months before moderating. Inflation is being temporarily boosted by base effects as the sharp pandemic-related price increases from last spring drop out of the 12-month calculation. In addition, strong demand in sectors where production bottlenecks or other supply constraints have limited production has led to especially rapid price increases for some goods and services, which should partially reverse as the effects of the bottlenecks unwind. Prices for services that were hard hit by the pandemic have also jumped in recent months as demand for these services has surged with the reopening of the economy.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
White SpaceX rocket begins its ponderous, thundering ascent from the NASA Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas, into a synchronous Earth orbit. 50 minutes later, it releases its payload of 20 solar mirror capsules. A few days later, the final 20 of the 480 solar shield mirrors designed to generate electricity and slow the global warming already devastating large parts of the planet. This is the start of a book called Guardians of the Solar Shield, and of course, the plot to cool the planet. It's interesting when you look at what we're seeing happening in space and imagine what could happen in 2032. This is a novel written by Sam Bleacher. He has quite an interesting background in the career that he had, and it dovetails, I think, into the novel and writing the novel. So, Sam, thanks so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
Let's talk about, first of all, what led you to Guardians of the Solar Shield?
Well, both of my novels, The Plot to Cool the Planet and The Guardians of the Solar Shield, reflect the fact that I've been talking to people and writing about and meeting with people about climate change for decades now, and I realize that I'm talking to the same people, and the most of the public doesn't really understand what the choices are and what the circumstances we face are. And so I thought maybe if I wrote a novel that would reach a different kind of an audience, the people who, because the novel has people in it, because the novel has a specific future context of climate change and efforts by people on Earth to fix it. So that's what got me to do it, and I think that it's important for people to try to envision a future that's not more of the same that we're experiencing now.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting you could draw so much on your experiences. I mean, everything from, you know, you were a lobbyist, a law professor in China, Russia, of course, the U.S., et cetera. All of your background with the environment, the Ohio Environmental Protection Agency. So you were working on things and seeing things that probably none of us knew about a long time ago.
Well, actually, when I was at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration in the Carter administration, which is in the late 1970s, nobody remembers that time anymore, they were already talking about the problem, but it was perceived because of the way the scientists, who were mostly geologists and climatologists, looked at it. They looked at it as a long, slow process that we might have to deal with sometime. And when government people read that, they said, fine, we'll deal with it when it arises. And that's the way government works. They don't just respond to long-term crises very effectively. And so, yes, that's part of what I think our problem is now. It's catching up with us. And we need to do things. And neither the governments nor the public have been prepared for this kind of action.
Yeah, and do you think some of that is because of all so much of the politics gets thrown into it? It's like, to me, it's like a bunch of buzzwords. In other words, people hear a word and I don't like that.
Well, that's true, and of course there are people who, in particular, the fossil fuel industry, that want to continue using fossil fuels. They've built their whole corporate enterprises around that, and they're finding that they face a shocking problem, which is a lot of their machinery and a lot of their pipelines, their oil and gas exploration devices, their power plants are going to have to be shut down and replaced, and that's an expensive and upsetting proposition.
Yeah. So tell us about, let's talk about specifically about the books and the plots and stuff, the Guardians of the Solar Shield. Tell us about that. And that book will pull you in, because I just gave you a little bit of it at the top to make you feel like you were in it. And I read the book from end to end, and it was really, really well written. So tell everybody about the plot.
Well, you want me to, let me say about the plot. The plot is a story about some rogue diplomats who come from small island states, and they recognize that their islands are going to be drowned, basically. And the people on them are going to have to go somewhere, and no one is offering to take them in. And so they decide to pursue a low-cost mechanism to put particles in the atmosphere, in the high atmosphere, that will provide a veil to prevent all the sun from coming in. And not all the sun, of course, but preventing so much of the sun as a 2% reduction would make all the difference. And then they do that, and they run into political crises that turn into a military confrontation and diplomatic problems at the United Nations to try to sort the problem out. So that's that book. The Guardians of the Solar Shield envisions a different mechanism, which is to put a series of mirrors in orbit around the Earth that will also serve the same purpose, that is, shielding the Earth from a couple of percent of the sun energy. But the mirrors have shadows, and those shadows will affect certain industries and activities more than the designers anticipated. And the people in the book are people working for the agency that runs the mirrors and trying to make sure that it's run ethically and in accordance with its original purpose. A young Irish woman who comes to New York to work there, and a man from Canada, originally born in India, who comes with the director of this agency to carry out the program. And it turns out that there are political pressures on the director, and there are miscreants who want to take advantage of the shadows to enrich themselves. So that's that, those are the that's the setup of each of the two stories.
What do you hope people take away from, and we kind of talked about that, but what do you hope people take away from reading your novels?
Well, I hope they will, it will open their minds to some, to thinking about the future differently. Lots of studies show that people have a very hard time envisioning the future. If you ask them about the past, they see a, complete, complex world. If you ask them about the future, they come up with stick figures. I mean, that is the, and that's the, one of the difficulties that people have. So that's one problem. And the other problem is, of course, people don't like change. And if it's because it creates unpredictable, unpredictable circumstances, and they don't want that. They want stability, especially, frankly, people in the United States who are basically reasonably well off. And at least half of the population is, and they don't want to, they're more in a protective mode than in an experimental mode.
Ooh, I like that explanation. I think you nailed it, Sam, for sure. Was it fun for you to write these novels?
Well, yes, once I started writing, I have never written anything like a novel. I've all my writing in the past has been either legal documents or the policy papers about how, what we should do. It's all abstract. And one of the things one of the reasons, again, I'm writing a novels is because people don't read those things. Most people are not interested in reading an abstract document. Well, to give you a current example, the people in the condominium in Florida that collapsed read the engineering report and said, well, that's, you know, we don't have to take that seriously. But when it's on the news every day and actually it happens, then everybody says, well, why didn't we do something? And that's just the nature of human beings. And if there are real people or realistic people in a novel that face real pressures, you get a whole different level of emotive concern from the reader than you will ever get from a scientific document.
Yeah, well said. Will you write any more novels in the future?
Well, I might. I've thought about adding a third to this that would be even further in the future. It gets harder and harder. The plot to Cool the Planet takes place really right now, between now and 2025. And the Guardians of the Solar Shield starts in 2029 with a different context. And it's already difficult. Are there cars in Manhattan? Do people ever talk on the phone, or do they always just video call? Is there a different currency in the world? And issues like that try to predict plausible future situations. And the further you try to predict, the more difficult it is. In fact, I just read an article the other day. Someone looked back at a book from 1980 about what would be 500 predictions about 2020. And he said the short conclusion is they're all wrong.
I love that. Oh, you're a delight. Perfect place to end this. Pick up these books, Guardians of the Solar Shield and The Plot to Cool the Planet. You can get it at Amazon and in paperback at bookshop.org and in local bookstores, of course. Sam Bleacher, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Hi, I'm Kate Delaney. We have Ashley Cantano with us. She's the public policy manager at Facebook. She's going to share some information on the COVID-19 vaccine. I know that a program started a couple of months ago. Tell us more about that, Ash.
In April, we launched a program to support pop-up vaccine clinics in low-income and underserved communities around California. Today, we're sharing that we've expanded that program to Austin, Boston, Chicago, New York, Seattle, and Washington, D.C. It's really important for us to support the communities near our offices, and this is one way we can do that.
What about mobile vaccines?
Near our headquarters in Menlo Park, we're also teaming with local nonprofits to operate a mobile vaccination truck. Each Friday and Sunday, the truck will park at nearby schools and community spaces.
Ashley, where can we find out more information?
Check out www.about.sb.com/news for all the details.
Thanks, Ashley, for sharing the information on COVID-19 vaccinations.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Nation, we will decriminalize marijuana. How about these fires raging and ripping through Oregon? There's one fire that could burn for at least 4 months. And shame on the FBI admitting outrageous, appalling failures. Agents just bungled the Larry Nassar investigation. And you think of all the sexual abuse at the hands of that doctor and the female USA gymnast. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, no matter where you hail from, I hope you're doing well in whatever nook and cranny. And we have rolled out that red carpet that we put up last night for all of you to jump and on and walk across, whether you're a first timer or you've been here for many, many, many years. Let's talk first about the FBI and the screw-ups with the Larry Nassar investigation. We've talked about this a bunch. Simone Biles, who's an incredible, talented athlete, spoke out against USA Gymnastics for not protecting athletes from this vile doctor who was sentenced to 40 to 175 years. One of the things that now has come out, the FBI admitted failures of its agents, as was outlined in this awful review. I mean, just blistering was the word I read, by the Justice Department's Inspector General. It was a two-page response attached to the Inspector General's report where the FBI characterized the actions of two senior agents, both accused of making false statements to investigators, as completely unacceptable and troubling. Why would this happen? So after the initial allegations of sexual abuse were brought to the FBI, this was back in 2015, and just completely, pretty much ignored, investigators say that there was one
the Inspector General, was seeking employment with the U.S. Olympic Committee. So if he was seeking employment with them, think about the conflict there and what would he weigh when he was looking at the allegations against this doctor, and even later made false statements about the conversations that they had when he was questioned by investigators. It doesn't make any sense, you know, whatsoever. So, you know, listen, this was back in 2015, and you think about back then, you think before then, you think after then, the things that have happened. So while acknowledging the acute failures and misconduct of these agents, the Bureau said FBI Director Chris Wray had launched a review that will clarify requirements to document and retain complaints regarding sexual abuse and sexual assault. FBI policy is going to be amended because of this to require 30-day status checks on complaints involving sex abuse and assault to determine whether further investigation is warranted. Why didn't this happen before? Why are we always reacting instead of being proactive? Good for those gymnasts who nailed him and put him away like the miscreant he is in jail. But how many other young girls could have avoided dealings with him if this had been handled correctly in the first place? And not just the FBI, but on so many other levels. All right, I mentioned this about pot. And, you know, this audience kind of falls in a couple of different directions when it comes to marijuana. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, longtime Democrat in New York, is introducing legislation that would decriminalize marijuana on a federal level. The Cannabis Administration and Opportunity Act is a draft bill by Senators Cory Booker and Ron Wyden from Oregon. And Schumer would also, part of it, would remove marijuana from the Controlled Substances Act, allowing pot to be regulated and taxed. 37 states have already decriminalized the substance, and 18 of those states have fully legalized it. Many Americans support the legislation, you know, or some sort of legislation, anyway, the legalization of marijuana for both medical and recreational use. How do you fall on this? What do you think about decriminalizing pot? I mean, this is monumental. This is a very big change in this country if this were to happen. Hey, the new tax revenue, I know that's what they're thinking, it would come from marijuana sales. And they say the marijuana sales, the taxes, it would pay for justice programs and would address the consequences the war on drugs has had on so many communities. Stay tuned for that vote. That will be an interesting one, I think. I do. There are some holdouts. I always said that Texas would be the last place that would go for it. I do. I really feel that way. I don't think this is on the highlight reel for many of the Texas legislatures, legislators to go in this direction. All right, I mentioned the fact that we've got these fires that are just tearing it up. I mean, you know, the West, it's ridiculous. And I say ridiculous, but this is what happens when you get the drought and you have these tinder-like conditions. And I don't have to describe it to you anymore. You all know what I'm talking about. But in the West, there are 14,200 wild land firefighters who are battling, ready for this, 67 fires. One of them in Oregon, they believe, will not completely be put out until Thanksgiving. So think of where we are right now and think of how far down the road Thanksgiving is. I mean, this is how bad it is. This is how bad it is. And it's caused, you know, not just evacuations, but also concern about, is everybody evacuated? And then also concern for the people that are out there fighting the fire. Yes, they do it for a living, but it's exhausting. And when you have more fires on top of another fire and then another fire and then another fire, this is when it becomes difficult. All right, Surfside Condo, you all know it. It's that property in Miami, outside of Miami, that we've been talking about that collapsed, and then they took out the other side of it. You see, still see the pictures of the people at the condo, family and friends saying goodbye to the people who perished in that Florida condo collapse. A Florida judge on Wednesday approved the sale of the oceanfront property where this condominium building once stood, with proceeds intended to benefit victims of the terrible, deadly disaster. There was a hearing where Miami-Dade Circuit Judge Michael Hansman ordered that the process begin. You know, sell this site where this tower fell, because it could get $100 million to $110 million, according to those court records. And so they're exploring a potential sale. And then once the land is sold, have that money go directly to the victims, is what he's saying, as soon as possible. I mean, Hansman's ruling came as part of a series of lawsuits that have been filed in wake of the June 24th collapse, which left at least 95 people dead. Others are still missing. And an exact cause, by the way, has not been pinpointed yet. It hasn't been pinpointed. There were previous warnings of major structural damage at this 40-year-old building, but they're not a pinpoint. All right, following up on something that we talked about, the 17-million-gallon sewage spill at Los Angeles' largest treatment plant, it closed miles of Southern California beaches. Pretty shocking. And it's the Hyperion plant that is the oldest, and I mentioned this, and largest sewage treatment facility, and it's been around since 1894. But these Southern California beaches, it's about 4 miles. They're still closed until the water samples come up negative for bacteria. And I mean, you got to have back to back to back. So you see nothing but closure signs posted, like at El Segundo. These are popular areas. The Grand Avenue storm drain, and some of the places where so many would frequent the beach, those beach areas, and they can't. I mean, it's this one giant area that is just too dicey. Bacteria and viruses in raw sewage are pretty dangerous, of course, to people, and can carry a ton of disease. So the debris that's in there, then when it's released into the bay, then you've got that bacteria, and then you think of the entanglement from the wildlife. And I guess some of that debris was successfully filtered out, which that's the good news. I mean, this isn't even the largest. The largest spill happened in 1998, and that was about 30 million gallons of sewage that spilled during the El Nino storms. It was really, really, really pretty bad. I mean, there was even in 2018 a sewage leak at Dodger Stadium, and that forced the cancellation of the final innings of a game between the Dodgers and the Los Angeles Angels. It was just that bad. All right, thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Remember, you can flip me your thoughts day or night, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep. Go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.